Picture a 39-year-old lawyer, successful by every conventional measure, stopping halfway up his own staircase, not to answer a phone or tie a shoe, but because he physically cannot continue. 8 stairs. That's all it takes to leave him winded, nauseous, and confronting a terrifying vision. His daughter's wedding day, decades from now, with one conspicuous absence. Him. This moment of reckoning didn't arrive with fanfare or drama. It came in the quiet darkness of an ordinary Tuesday night, fueled by cheeseburgers and self-deception. What happened next defies the typical midlife crisis narrative. This isn't a story about buying a sports car or finding religion. It's about a former Olympic hopeful swimmer who drowned in alcohol and junk food, only to resurface as one of the world's most formidable ultra-endurance athletes. The transformation required more than willpower. It demanded a complete dismantling of identity itself. Water was the first language, learned before walking. Tossed into the deep end as a diapered infant, the instinct wasn't fear, but joy, a smile that asked, "Again?" This frail, cross-eyed child wearing an eye patch and orthodontic headgear became an unlikely athlete, discovering in swimming what he couldn't find on playgrounds where he was always picked last. By 15, the 200-yard butterfly became his meditation, a punishing event most swimmers avoid. National rankings followed, then a Stanford scholarship, training alongside Olympic legends. That first beer with teammate Bruce Kimball came with subconscious knowledge. This might be a problem. One night became 2, then 5. Swimming times deteriorated as keggers replaced pool time. When he quit junior year, his coach barely looked up. "Okay, Rich, good luck." Those 4 words contained a devastating truth. He'd already given up on himself. Manhattan became Disneyland for the alcoholic. Cornell Law School seemed like salvation. Instead, it relocated the problem to Ithaca, now with the added danger of a vehicle and several narrow escapes from arrest. Graduation day began with 8 beers before donning cap and gown. He received his diploma barefoot while classmates cheered and parents looked on in quiet devastation. Their muted goodbye said everything. "You're on your own now." A failed engagement. 9 months cycling through recovery. His father's ultimatum: "If you get sober, give us a call. But until then, we don't want to hear from you." Dr. Garrett O'Connor finally broke through his defenses, calling him terminally unique and a garden variety alcoholic. A planned 3-week rehab became 100 days. At 31, his alcoholism had progressed to that of a 65-year-old lifelong chronic drinker. Sobriety brought marriage to Julie, a yoga-practicing artist and mother of 2, a dream home in Malibu Canyon, and a thriving law practice. Yet at 40, 50 pounds overweight and unable to climb 8 stairs, something remained broken. Julie suggested a 7-day cleanse: herbs, teas, vegetable juices, no solid food, quitting caffeine and nicotine simultaneously. The first days brought sweating, shaking, curling into a ball. Day 5 brought rebirth, clarity and energy previously unimaginable. 6 months of vegetarian eating, cheese pizza and nachos left him still 40 pounds overweight. Going fully plant-based changed everything. A 4-hour, 24-mile run on dirt Mulholland Trail sparked an unexpected return to competitive athletics. The shift to plant-based eating was purely practical. What makes the body run best? The answer was whole plants, not processed substitutes. Earth's strongest animals, elephants, rhinos, gorillas, get 100% of their protein from plants. Only 1 in 10 calories needs to come from protein, yet Americans consume twice that amount. Signing up for the Wildflower Long Course Triathlon without proper preparation was pure hubris. Training reverted to no pain, no gain philosophy, pushing maximally hard every workout. The result? Seizing during the swim, vomiting after finding the bike, collapsing with severe cramping. The dreaded DNF, did not finish, was humbling. Enter Coach Chris Hoth, whose lactate test revealed fitness was nowhere near perceived levels. His revolutionary philosophy: build the aerobic engine by staying in zone 2, heart rate below 140 running, 130 biking. This felt absurdly easy. Most training had been in the gray zone, too hard for aerobic development, but not intense enough to build speed. Endurance success comes to the guy who slows down the least. Ultraman World Championships became the ultimate test, a three-day race around Hawaii's Big Island, 6.2-mile swim, 260-mile bike ride, and 52.4-mile run. With zero credentials and 6 months to prepare, convincing gatekeeper Jane Bacchus required pure conviction. Training volume built from 10 to 25 hours weekly. Running pace at the same heart rate improved from 10:15 per mile to 8, defying expectations for a middle-aged former alcoholic who couldn't climb stairs months earlier. The 2008 race began with a simple goal: finish. Day 1's ocean swim brought second place. The 90-mile bike ride ended 7th overall, fastest first-timer and top American. Day 2's 170-mile ride brought 8,500 feet of climbing, including the brutal Cohalis where Lance Armstrong trained. Day 3 brought a 52.4-mile run across lava fields. Running 4 miles, walking 1, initially dropped position to 32nd, but as heat intensified, the pattern proved wise, methodically passing struggling competitors. At mile 40, systems began shutting down, but stride never broke. Total time, 26 hours, 33 minutes. Fastest American male, 11th overall, and Ultraman. The 2009 race crash, thrown off the bike in pouring rain, pedal shattered, helmet cracked, cost the day one lead. Peter McIntosh's words cut through. This is not over. Get back on your bike and get it done. Epic 5 with Jason Lester meant 5 iron distance triathlons on 5 Hawaiian islands in 5 consecutive days. With 4 months to prepare, training centered on one premise: slow down to acclimate to constant movement. The event exceeded all expectations in brutality. Bike failures, lost equipment during frantic airport transitions, an angry homeowner on Molokai. But Maui brought complete mental collapse. Fierce trade winds reduced the pace from 20 miles per hour to 8. A world-class sunset evoked only indifference while scanning the shoulder for nap spots. After 10 p.m., standing fully clothed under hot water, ready to abandon everything. Then, encountering a drunk woman in the parking lot, realizing that could have been the path without sobriety, inexplicably lacing up running shoes for a marathon. Getting off that bumper was the hardest thing in 45 years. Yet, it wasn't conscious. All self-will had drained away. This was bliss in depletion, that ascetic purity when the mind stops and the soul connects with truth. By 3 a.m. near mile 20, delirium set in against burning cane fields lighting the sky orange. Acrid smoke choked the air. The crew left to retrieve a car while the final miles were completed alone, running circles around a neighborhood until GPS hit 26.2. On the Big Island's final day, riding the Queen Case Highway, savoring solitude and gratitude for sobriety, faith, family, and Jason, who believed enough to include him in this adventure. 5 iron distance triathlons in under 7 days. The impossible achieved. Life is a long walk with many paths. We've all woken to find ourselves on the same worn trail traveled for too many years. Many can't find the exit ramp to a more fulfilling trajectory, but it exists. By opening the heart and following its direction, life changes completely. We live in the most prosperous nation on earth, yet we've never been more unhealthy. Rather than addressing underlying causes of preventable diseases, our culture emphasizes pharmaceutical fixes. Plant-based nutrition is preventive medicine, shown to reverse heart disease and impede cancer cell growth. There's a new path waiting for you. Look for it. Then take that first step. Do what you love. Love those you care about. Give service to others. Show us who you really are.